Welcome to the Covenant Life Church podcast. We hope this message allows you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference.
You all may be seated. We're going to watch a short video from our new pastor.
Good morning, Covenant Life family. What an honor it is to wish all the mothers here a blessed and happy Mother's Day. It is essential that we honor, respect, and celebrate the selfless act of being a mother, not just on Mother's Day, but all the time. This is not hard to do when we realize that good, godly mothers are the most important part of a good, godly family. In Genesis 3:16, it says that after the fall, there would be pain to the mother associated with childbirth. Now, apart from the obvious physical pain experienced, what the word is really referring to here is the continuing, heartfelt, and lifelong pain a mother experiences watching their children experience their lives in this fallen world. Whether the children are babies, toddlers, teens, or full-grown adults, the mother shares in every pain, heartache, and ordeal with their kids. God knew all of us would need support during the painful times we experience going through life in this fallen world. And in His great wisdom and as an act of love and grace, He assigned the mothers to that lifelong sacrificial task and not the fathers. Clearly, the Lord knew who could handle a task as important as this one, the mothers. I thank God He did, as I count myself included as one who has depended on the loving arms and support of a mother who felt and shared every pain, suffering, and hardship I have experienced through all the stages of my life, right up to and including the time my mother went to be with the Lord. So let's all commit to not just honoring mothers on this special day dedicated to them, but make a regular practice of it all year. Mothers are worthy of it, and the Word confirms what we all clearly know already, that part of being a mother means dedicating and committing your life to others. And that sounds a whole lot like Jesus. Amen? So let's pray. So Lord, the prayer today is short. We are just thankful for mothers. We all count on them. We all need them. And You, through grace, provided them in a way that we would need in this world. And we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah. Let's hear it for our new pastor. Well, I get the privilege of explaining the rest of the service to you all this morning. It is Mother's Day, and so we have a very special treat for you all. We have four amazing mothers who are going to come and share briefly about the faithfulness, the goodness of God in their lives. Now, I know as a mom, we go through seasons. There's the season before your child is born. There's the season of carrying that child, birthing that child, the young, very, very young infancy and toddler years. There's the stepping into those school age years. There is the teenage years, which I'm walking through right now. And then there's the moving into the early adulthood years until finally they are out of your home and you are a mom of adults or a grandmom. And the cycle repeats itself, right? So we have seasons. And I believe that God, in His great love for us moms, gives us grace to walk through those seasons that we are in, right? And so this morning, we have four moms. First up, Lindsay Cochran's going to come. She is a mom of a couple of younger children. And she's going to come and she's going to share about that season. And then we have Miss Heather Johnson, who's coming, and her children are in that school age, jumping into middle school, high school age, early teenage years. And then we have Miss Leslie Leffler. Her kids are in their late teens going into adulthood. And so she's going to share from that season. And then we have Miss Linda Salzgaver, who is a mom and a grandmom of, she's a mom of adult children and a grandmother, and so she's going to share from that season. So would you guys just put your hands together and let's welcome Miss Lindsay this morning.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers and mothers-to-be. Holy Spirit, help me today, because I've been in front of crowds before. I did the testimony for Life Group, but this is a little bit different. This is a testimony about Mother's Day and God's faithfulness through my journey of motherhood. So I pray God will help me to say what He wants me to say to touch somebody's heart. When I first accepted this about a month ago, I was like, yes, I know what I'm going to talk about. I've been studying Proverbs 31. I just know what I'm going to do. And God changed that so many times over and over and over again. So I am grateful for this opportunity to speak in front of everyone today and share my testimony of my journey of motherhood. How many at the tender age of like 19, 20, 21 knew I'm going to be a mother? Not me. Not me. When I came out of my teenagehood, I was just like, you know what? I want to be an adult. I don't want to worry about kids. I just don't want to be a mother yet. I was very apprehensive about the whole process. Seeing everything as a young adult, everything that my mom went through, I had a lot of anxiety surrounding motherhood. And of course, one of the biggest things is childbirth. You know, everybody, you know, that's a mother knows exactly what I'm talking about. There's so many variables with childbirth. You know, you have a birth plan, you go into the doctor, say, we're going to do this. And then something can change on a dime. So after that, you actually go into this process of, okay, I have a new human here in my life that I'm responsible for taking care of. So that journey, you have that part of it. And you're just like, God, you know, help me through this. You know, because you have the threat of postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety, all the things that the world says you may get when you have a child. But when you lean on God, I'll get to that part. I'll get to that part. Then you have your potty training stage, which I am in right now. So pray for me, innovate. She is very willful, but you know, that part really made me anxious. Like, how do I teach another person? And it seems so basic, but you know, things is something you've been doing for years and years and years. How do you teach a little person to do that? You know, something so simple. But God has been so faithful. You know, I grew up in a single parent home. My mother, I wouldn't know half the things I know about God if I did not have my mom. So I appreciate her and I love her so much. I'm so grateful for her. But I saw so much that she went through, and that made me so nervous about the journey of motherhood. I was nervous to see, like, am I going to go through some of the things that she went through? Like, what am I going to see? You know, what type of things am I going to have to walk through in my journey? I'm so glad that God took control of my life and changed my idea of not wanting to be a mother. I'm glad he did, because I have two wonderful little human beings who bless me every single day, so many times. I thank God my first pregnancy, I had three pregnancies. My first pregnancy was a surprise to Philip and I. We had been married probably about a year-ish. He had just graduated nursing school and we found out, oh, I'm pregnant. Well, what do we do? You know, I'm working two jobs. He just graduated nursing school. He doesn't have his nursing job yet. What are we going to do with this? God, so everything just kept going around in my head like, okay, God, this is not what we expected. This is not, you know how God changes your plans. You want to make plans for your life, but God will change your plans. I will tell you that. But after I had gone through the process of trying to decide what's going to happen with this, we lost our baby. Because I was trying to control things. God was showing me that he had control of things. And a year later, I got pregnant with Nolan. I thank God that he walked me through that whole process. I'm so grateful. And it was so much that happened as far as the anxiety, not just of how am I going to take care of this baby and everything, and how is Philip going to get a job. There was the sense of community. I didn't have that. I didn't have that when I was pregnant with the first baby. And with Nolan, we were working on it. But with Nevaeh, oh, I got community for sure. I thank y'all. Y'all are my family for sure. And I love you guys for that. And also, too, I mean, when I was pregnant, I was working two jobs, 50 hours a week. Now I'm not doing that no more. Thank God. So I wanted to leave you with these two verses here. Matthew 6, 31, 32. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run around after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. So he knew. He knew I needed a job to where I was working less than 50 hours a week. He knew that Philip was, his desire was to be a nurse, a registered nurse. So he blessed him with the job. He knew we needed community, so he blessed us with the community. He knew all these things. And I am so grateful to God because he knows what you need. I don't know what you need today, but he knows what you need, and he's going to bless you with that. So. And I am so grateful. One more thing I wanted to leave you guys with is Proverbs 31:25. Instead of being anxious about the seasons ahead, the seasons that I'm going through right now, I am going to leave you with this. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong and secure. She smiles at the future knowing that she and her family are prepared. God has prepared me, my husband, my son, my daughter. He knows. He knows exactly what we need, and he has prepared us for the future, and I thank God for that. So I'm going to hand this over to Heather so she can talk about her transition.
Well, I want to thank you for the privilege of speaking to you today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Heather Johnson. My family and I moved here from the Chicago suburbs a little over 2 years ago, and we love it here. And we love this church. We're so glad that we're here. And I was raised in the Chicago suburban area. I was born in Virginia, so I got a little bit of Southern in me, but Chicago. And when I was a teenager, young adult, I knew for sure that I was going to be a nurse. And I also said I would never marry a pastor or be a missionary. And I graduated nursing school, and I married a pastor, and I became a missionary. We did some missions work with my in-laws, with her here today. Never say never. God has shown me that over and over. Mother's Day used to be the hardest day of the year. I knew God called me to be a mother. So when it came time to start our family and it wasn't happening, I wasn't getting pregnant, I was very discouraged, I was very confused. I had several prophecies that I would become a mother, that we would have children. I mean, slain in the spirit, on the floor prophecies, it was over and over and over again. Eventually, I came to expect it. We had a prophetic pastor that would come, and I just knew he would give it to me over and over again. And I ended up chuckling like Sarah. I would laugh like Sarah because I didn't know what to do with it anymore. I knew exactly what that laugh meant. And it was a faith struggle for me because I knew that God could do it, but he wasn't doing it. And I didn't know if going to a fertility specialist, a doctor, would show a lack of faith in God. I didn't want my family, my friends to see that. I didn't know how that would look, and I definitely didn't want God to think that I didn't believe that he could do it. We moved back to the Chicago area, and I finally felt a release to go see a fertility specialist, and I got pregnant pretty quickly. And now I have a preteen and a teenager. I'm feeling very blessed. But parenting in 2024 and in the digital age, that's scary. It can be scary. I have been terrified about what they could see on the TV, on the computer, on their devices, on somebody else's device, in a book. I mean, you know, I found myself not only worried about that, but worried about other evils they might come in contact with, that evils that used to be behind closed doors that are now just out in the open. I've had to have conversations with them at a very young age that I never dreamed I would have to have at that age because of things that they've had to come in contact with at the library, out in public, and even in our extended family. I started to parent out of fear. I started making decisions in my parenting out of fear. But I realized God does not want me to parent out of fear. That would not be fruitful. That would not be trusting in God. And I know that his grace is sufficient for me. In this moment in my life, as a parent, I know he wants to help me. And if I seek his help, I know that I will find it. And I know that he loves my children even more than I do, which is hard to believe sometimes, but he does. And I'm reassured in the fact that I'm co-parenting with God. My husband and I are co-parenting with God. And I know he's watching out for them. And my job is to teach them, to give them the tools of the Word of God, give them the tools to fight against the slings and arrows of the enemy, and to pray for them. And we covet your prayers as parents. We can't protect them always, but I love that we have a family that we can rely on to pray for. So I'm constantly reassured from God that He's co-parenting right along with me, and I don't need to be afraid. And I need to listen to His voice, not do anything out of fear. So what decisions are you making in your life out of fear? I can tell you this, God does not want you to make any decisions out of fear. That is a lack of trust in Him. How insulting. He wants to co-labor with you in every aspect of your life, in relationships, at work, school, every aspect. He wants to be a part of it. He wants to co-labor with you in every aspect. And His grace is sufficient for you in your situation as well. And you guys all know Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified or dismayed, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go. Mother's Day is now a day of celebration for me. God's faithfulness, right? Yes, praise God. I know that I speak for all the staff here when I say that this church is with you. If you're still believing for your miracle baby, we're here to support you. I know it can be very difficult, and we don't want you to suffer in silence, which is what infertility can be. So if there's any of you who are believing for your miracle baby, I would love to pray with you after the service. I'm also an open book about my whole journey with that. So if you ever want to talk about it, I'm here for you. So thank you. And I want to say happy birthday to my husband, Jared, who was born on Mother's Day 50 years ago today. And now we have Leslie.
All right, it's my turn. So, well, I echo everyone, right? Happy Mother's Day, and happy Mother's Day. Some people I know here, I just feel like some people may struggle with that too, right? We all kind of bring our childhood trauma, our life trauma, right? Sometimes Mother's Day can be painful. So just in a special way, as we're talking about Mother's Day, though, for me, has really been the joy of my life. And I can tell you it's not, isn't it funny how it doesn't always turn out like we think, right? And life can be messy. But I remember as I reflected back on this, you know, every stage of motherhood has had this really special place. So even before I was a mom, I was praying for that baby that was going to come. You know, and then the baby, I was able to become pregnant with Kristen, and I can remember praying specifically, like, God, I just feel like this would be so much easier, right, once she gets here, right? Like, once I can see her, right, all the worries, right, that I have that I can't see and feel and control what's going on, but as the moms out there giggle, right, you know that that's just the beginning, right? And it doesn't end with all those stages, right? I remember when they were small and, you know, boo-boo rags and hugs. And when you have young children, it's really hard. And I really feel for I hope the moms with young kids out there really get something from this today, because truly I'm kind of at the finish line. It's cycling around, but I'm at the finish line of that, sort of. I mean, you're never really finished, but certainly those young years are very challenging. But for my kids, and so for those of you that don't know, Rodney and I have a blended family. And so because we've always been at this church and everyone has seen us together, I think everyone assumes that we've been together forever because we have a wonderful marriage. But life has been messy and it's been hard. And I was a child of divorce, and I never wanted that for my kids. But after long-term marriages, unfortunately, I got divorced. And though that was devastating for me, it was very hard on my kids. And it was very hard on Rodney's kids. He kind of went through a similar situation. And even though, you know, you pray for your child through all these stages, and we prayed through this devastation, and we've prayed through, you know, bad days and bad friends and bad moments and the need for friends, the need for good people in their life, and just the everyday challenges. It's not been easy. It's been messy. It's been messy for them. It's not always looked like an Instagram perfect moment, right? But God has been faithful through that. And the way God is faithful is, for me, He, like when you take a wrong turn on the GPS, Rodney usually uses this as an example, God rerouted our lives. And He was faithful. He rerouted us together. And, you know, we've prayed for these young people and my stepchildren, though I've not had them as long. I call them my bonus children, right? They are full heirs to me. I know some people say, oh, well, they're your stepchildren. They are my children. They all have other parents, and we are all respectful of that. But I'm going to intervene for them in prayer. I'm going to love them. I'm going to bless them like I do, whether they are my blood or not. They are full heirs to me. So Rodney and I have continued to pray and intervene for them. And the most important thing I think we've done as parents is we've wanted them to have a real Jesus experience, right? We've wanted them to know the Lord, and I truly believe God has been faithful in that. When I had Kristen, my heart was filled with love and that I could not love another child, right? When you have that second one, you think, how can I love a child more than I love this one? And then God cut my heart into two pieces and I just love them doubly, I guess. And then even when Zach and Josie came, you know, I thought, God, how could I love children more? But truly, He quadrupled it. And then they continue to add people, right? So we have Chloe and we have Jackson that's going to be marrying into the family, and they keep bringing these God-loving, faithful people into our family, and it's just growing, and He's been faithful, even though had we dwelled on the negative, and had we dwelled on the pain, and had we not moved forward and not let God intervene in our lives, we could all win the devil of it, right? If we focused on the negative and the heartache and the problems and the messiness. But I can't. I can't, because I've prayed for them for their whole lives, or as long as I've known them, before I knew them, I've prayed for them. And right now, I'm getting to see the full purpose of them walking out God's plan in their life. And I cannot be sad about it. A lot of people are sad. Their kids are leaving. We've got this empty nest coming. But I just can't be sad. I'm so happy that they know the Lord and that they're living out His purpose. So if you have children, maybe you've prayed over. Maybe you have intervened for them over and over and over, and maybe they're not living the way you think they should. I would say God's faithfulness is a guarantee. And you keep praying. And I will be here to talk with you at the end, or pray with you for your children, because for me, God's faithfulness has happened and they're in their early 20s, and I'm grateful. Not that it's been perfect, but, and not that they are perfect, right? Everybody, life is messy. So, but I'm willing to stand with you in agreement that your children are going to be with the Lord. And so, one more thing. So I found out I'm going to be a grandma. So super excited about that. And a lot of you know that Zach and Chloe are expecting a little girl. And what a joy, right, to pray for these children and now pray for my grandchildren. And if you know what I do for a living, you know I'm into the sciences. So I'm going to not bore you completely, but I'm going to share one thing that I think is really important in everything that you've heard so far. Is when Chloe got pregnant, she did this genetic test. And it's called cell-free DNA. And so before everyone goes to sleep, I promise I won't go too deep. But it's amazing that she had this test, and they draw the mother's blood, and they can actually do a genetic profile on the baby. And everyone asked me about this, and I'm supposed to be the science person, right? So I'm supposed to know the answer. And I thought, I have no idea how they do that, right? How do you draw mom's blood and get the information for the baby? So I did a little research. And it ends up, the miracle of the body does not just extend to, you know, God created something that has such tight control of things like sodium and potassium, and it's a miracle. It's a miracle that the way we abuse our bodies, that we're able to function at all. But a mother, when she becomes pregnant, The baby cells are actually in her body, in her bloodstream, and they can stay there for decades. And so in a very sciencey way, there are these antigens on blood cells, or kind of markers, for lack of a better word. And so they can see what is the baby and what's the mother's cells and then other babies, and they're there for decades. They don't really know how long these are retained. Sometimes children will have grandmother cells, mother cells, and then the baby cells. So what I'm about to say to you is, even if you've had problems with miscarriages, infertilities, those babies are with you. They will always be with you. They are part of your very cellular being. And not only will you see them in heaven, but they're with you right now. And so for me, that was really special, because when your kids are leaving the nest, right, you think they're not going to be here anymore. But God is faithful. God has set up such a miracle in us that I didn't even know the extent to how the baby can live in you on an actual cellular level. So I'm here to pray with you at the end, but also we've been doing Freedom Group, so I have to mention that in every trial, it says in the Freedom book that when you're walking close to what God has for your purpose in your life, expect attacks from the enemy and consider them a compliment. And so I'm living that out for sure. One scripture that I want to leave you with, just as a mother with children leaving the nest, is Galatians 6:9, and that's, let's not become discouraged in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not become weary. And so I am standing in the happiness and in the amazing faithfulness of God, that he is continuing to answer the prayers that I have prayed over these children since I've known them and since before they were born. So, happy Mother's Day. And now I'm going to bring up Miss Linda.
Good morning. I'm Linda. Nice to see you. And I'm going to talk to you today about living without regrets. It doesn't just happen when you're my age, but regrets happen almost the moment you're born. But you don't deserve them. You don't need them. Jesus paid a price for you not to have regrets. I told him, I have these so many regrets. And he said, Linda, that's a choice. So I choose to walk and live without them. Amen. My first year back from Caris Bible College, I helped my daughter escape, and I do mean the word escape, from her husband that had abused her and their two young children in ways that you would see in a horror novel. I do not exaggerate, and it was an escape. She was 39 years old with two small children. She had manic depressant tendencies and addicted to drugs and alcohol. She lived in a hurricane. And you know, when you're in a hurricane, everything is distorted. You hear this voice and, well, is that coming from here or here? That's where she lived, was in a hurricane. And so that time that after we got her out of that situation, got her a place to live, and her two small children, which at the time were five and three, and got her a job, and she got to the place, it took about a year, to where she started distancing herself from myself and her other siblings that were helping her. But she took it on herself to fix things herself. I can handle this. I can do this. So she started distancing herself from us, because still she was in that hurricane. Everything was distorted and lots of distractions. During this time, I made the decision, because we had tried to help her And she just kept falling back into, well, I got this, I know what I'm doing, I've got this. That finally, someone asked me, how did you pray for her? It really wasn't a prayer, it was a choice again to live without regret. Praise God. I do not regret. What I did is I, in my heart and in my mind, I took my daughter's hand and I walked her up to Jesus and I left her there. I turned around and I walked away and I never looked back. That was the decision. I will not live in regret. Praise God. Praise God. After a while, she ended up in jail for possession of drugs. And her two small children went back to the man that had hurt them. They were 5 and 3 years old. They went back to him while she was in jail. My sister called me during that time and she said, Linda, you must be so heartbroken. So heartbroken. And it's just devastating what has happened. But again, I said, no, I'm living and walking and living with no regret. You see, I knew who was with my daughter. And she said, well, are you going to go visit her? And no, I wasn't mad at her. I wasn't angry with her. I knew who was with her. And my sister said, well, we might go up and visit her there in jail. And I said, I wish you wouldn't. She has some decisions to make. She has a father that she needs to see and respond back to. And if I keep getting in the way, that's never going to happen. I would rather leave her alone because I know who's with her. Well, my daughter told me this later on after all the events had happened, that when she was in that jail cell, and she stayed there for 2 months, and my grandchildren stayed with the madman that they who was their father. And that I had to know. I turn that over to you, Father. You're responsible for them, because I can't be. And she told me that when she was in that jail cell, she kind of made the decision, well, I'm just going to rot here. But then she allowed herself to hear the Father that she'd always known since she was a little girl. And in that moment, see, God's always with you. He's always with you. But are you going to make the decision to be with Him? And she did. She said, while she was in that cell, she said, okay, God, let's go. And she did. When she came out of that jail, she was no more manic depression. It was gone. It was gone. She was totally free from drugs. Totally free from drugs, totally delivered from manic depression. She's on no medication whatsoever today. But you see, she said, let's go. And that's what you do. You can't just stop doing something. You have to start moving in the opposite direction. So for the next 5 years, my daughter made a decision and carried out that decision to walk after her God and to listen and to keep listening. She went to Mercy Street meetings 3-4 times every week. She got her children back. She got her children back. That's the first thing she did when she got out of jail. She went after her children because she's living without regrets now. She's living in her freedom. She's walking with the God that she's always known, and she's growing. She's growing. She's manifesting the presence of God in her life and in her children's life. And she's teaching me a few things too. she's teaching me a few things too. Well, for like I said, for the next 5 years, she went for drug tests, random drug tests, 3-4 times a week that she had to pay for. She had to pay for these things. They weren't cheap. But for 5 years, she did it week after week after week. She went to counseling. She took steps. For a long time, I didn't know any of this because she didn't come around us because she thought maybe we were disappointed, ashamed. I didn't know any of this was going on. She did this herself with the Father. She was living with a friend who supported her financially and gave her a place to live, but she had a job. And after 5 years, she's got her nursing license back. She's working. She's moving forward. And she is living without regret. Amen. Praise God. And again, just like the other ladies, I'd love to pray for anybody that maybe is in a similar situation. Like the other ladies have said, isn't that marvelous? The testimonies and the revelation that we're receiving as women, full of the grace of God. Amen. His abundant grace is well able. Praise God. I would love to pray with anyone here who's walking through such things. God is more than able. If sometimes we just kind of get out of the way, amen, get out of the way, He's faithful, amen. Thank you so much.
That was, it's so good to hear from other moms, because a lot of times it's easy to feel like we are all by ourselves. We're the only one that's going through something. Maybe you are in a situation where you feel like you are having to do it all by yourself. Kind of like Miss Linda said, that her daughter was like, no, I've got this, I've got this. And I know that as single moms, it's easy to do that. It's easy to say, nope, I don't need help. I've got this. I'm on my own. I can do this. Or maybe you are here and your family doesn't live close by. And you're like, nope, nope. We want to be so independent, but we don't have to do it alone. We don't have to do life alone. That's part of why God gives us a church community, to do life together, to support each other, to encourage each other, to lift each other up. And it's so, so important that we be willing to reach out for help, to be willing to submit it to our Father God, but also to be willing to link arms with each other here as you're going throughout your life. And so I want to encourage you. But the very beginning, Julie, as she was praying, she was praying a verse out of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that says that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And it's through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. God has called every single one of us. As moms, He has called us for a very special reason. Same goes for dads. Y'all get your day. We're gonna focus on you. But today we get to talk about the moms. But God has given us everything that we need for the life that He has given us. He has given us everything that we need to be the moms, the grandmoms that we need to be. And maybe you're in this room and you're like, I want to be a mom, but I'm just not there yet. I'm not seeing that happen. We want to pray with you and stand in agreement with you. Each of these ladies told you that they want to pray with you, and they would love to. We want to stand in agreement with you. It may be that you are on an awesome high. Things are great in your life. Your kids are just charging ahead in God, and everything is great. And I am so, so thankful for that. But it's still good to link arms with other moms to be that support and that encouragement. So that's what my suggestion is to you today. Before you leave, we have gifts. All the moms will get a gift back in this corner. Everybody in the room gets to have a buntini, because you know we like to do sugar here. We got to give out some treats. So you'll get that when you go out. But before you leave this room, I encourage you, turn around, find a mom, a grandmom, just another woman that's around you, and just spend a minute encouraging each other. Even if it's just, I'm so glad I got to see you today. You look so beautiful. What can I pray with you about? Hey, how was your week? Let's be willing to reach out, because it's not, sometimes we see so much of what we need in our own life, but let's be willing to look around at the people that are around us, the ones that you sit next to every single week and you think their life is perfect. I had someone this morning told me, I think it was Miss Leslie, was talking about, it's easy to see that everybody else has a perfect life while I'm sitting in mine that's just kind of spiraling. Nobody has a perfect life. We have a, you know, we put up Facebook pictures. Our Instagram looks awesome. We put up the pictures when everything looks great, but we don't see what's going on behind the scenes. So be willing to just check on those that are around you. Check in with them, encourage them, love on them. And then let's do that more than just on Mother's Day. Make it a habit and a lifestyle that you're going to be willing to reach out to those that are around you. As the moms mentioned, all of them did. They are going to be up here for prayer. If you need prayer for anything, and dads, we will have some guys that are up here too, so don't feel left out. But if you need prayer for anything, it could be related to what they said, or maybe it's something completely else. We would love to pray with you. So our prayer team is going to come up. They'll be here at the end to pray with you. As I mentioned, back in the corner, we do have gifts for all of our moms and grandmoms. And then out in the breezeway, they have some treats ready for you. So, it's been a good day.
Amen.
Did you get something out of today? Did you hear just something that was an encouragement? Was good for you? Amen. All right. You can go ahead and stand up to your feet, and you are dismissed.
We are so excited that you joined us today. For more information, go to myclc.church. Have a great day.